Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Hey, y'all, good morning. Thank you so much for being here, especially if you're a guest. We're honored to have you today. We would love to get to know you, know how we can pray for you. So there's a Connect card in the seat in front of you. If you fill that out or scan that QR code, take it to the Connect wall in the lobby. We have some Jesus chicken we will hook you up with back there. That's also known as Chick-fil-A. And if you're newer to Pleasant Valley, we'd love to learn more about the church, how you can get involved, serve, small groups, all that good stuff. Our Discover class is coming up on Sunday, August the 9th during this 9 a.m. worship service. We'd love to have you. You can register online for that or you can scan the QR code as well. It's hard to imagine parents and grandparents, but it's back to school time already. We just blinked and it's here. And so our annual back to school bash for kids, teens, and our Mercy Ministry come on Wednesday, August 12th, 6 to 8. We will have food trucks and we'll be doing tie-dye shirts. And there will be a Bon Jovi concert, and we have mechanical bulls and inflatables and all kinds of other dangerous things for your kids for which you will need insurance. So we hope that you'll be here. Just seeing if you guys are paying attention this morning. If you ride that mechanical bull, you will be living on a prayer for sure. Our vision at Pleasant Valley, though, is to saturate Owensboro and engage the nations of the glory and knowledge of God. And so that's why this morning we have a team that just landed in Miami, and now they're about to hop on a flight down to Dominican Republic to share the gospel all week and to serve the people there. So be in prayer for them, but not just in the Dominican. We have mission partnerships all over the world in all the different places you can imagine where there is no gospel presence. And so that's why we're thrilled to partner with the Wainwrights in France, Lyon, France. They've been there for years. And so it's our joy to partner with them as a church. If you want to hear more about what God's doing in France, join us next Sunday for a luncheon with the Wainwrights. That'll be right after the second service. We will feed you. You'll get to meet them and hear what God is doing over there among the French people. And speaking of missions, when you give financially to Pleasant Valley Community Church, a significant portion of everything you give is going to get the gospel outside these walls, to plant churches in North America and to get the gospel to places like North Africa and France and Asia and the DR and everywhere you could imagine. So if you call PVCC your church home and you want to partner with us financially, I promise you those resources are being stewarded well. Well, it was actually, and this is hard to imagine, but it was 25 years ago next week that I stepped foot on the campus of Murray State University for the very first time as a freshman. I was an 18-year-old kid from Katy's, Kentucky, home of the Country Ham Festival, one stoplight, six antique shops, and a high school graduating class of a whopping 88 people. And I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, walking onto that campus, all these big buildings and 10,000 students from all over the world. But then that first weekend at Murray, as an 18-year-old kid, somebody invited me to Hardin Baptist Church. And that first day I walked into Hardin Baptist Church, I knew I had found my new church home. Because never in my life had I heard anybody preach the Bible like Brother Ricky Cunningham preached the Bible. For an 18-year-old young preacher boy, as I was, to sit under his preaching every week, it was like throwing a T-bone to a pit bull. I could not get enough every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every time the church doors were open and he was preaching, I was there and I was soaking in every word as a young minister. It's where I learned doctrine and theology. It's where I learned to love the word of God and expository preaching. You know, every pastor needs a pastor. And for 25 years, Ricky Cunningham has been one of my pastors. If I'm struggling, if I need wisdom or prayer, I call him and he answers every time, often from either his combine or tractor. He served as the pastor at Hardin Baptist Church for over 40 years in Pleasant Valley. It's our honor this morning to have he and his sweet wife, Miss Elisa, here with us. But before I bring him up, I want to tell you something kind of cool. This is a God thing. During college, of course, Brother Ricky was mine and Annie's pastor as we attended Hardin Baptist Church. And starting in 3 weeks, he will now be our oldest two kids' pastors, as James and Ellie are moving to Murray State University. And so as sad as Annie and I are that our oldest two are leaving, it brings us great joy to know that they will be in good hands. And if there were any other church in America besides this one my kids are going to be at, I'm glad it's Hardin Baptist Church. And so Pleasant Valley, would you join me in welcoming Pastor Ricky Cunningham as he preaches for us this morning.
Can I just say my favorite word? Wow. I am so excited to be here with you this morning. Thank you, Jameis, for that very sincere introduction and those compliments that you give me. But I am so excited to be with you this morning. How many of you are teachers or have been a teacher? Wow. I just want you to know that I feel like teachers played an important part, a very influential part of my life. And God used them to shape me into who I am today. My sixth grade teacher, Miss Laster at Faxton Elementary School, Mr. Gilbert, my FFA teacher, Mr. England, my speech teacher, my teacher in college, Bible college, Mike Morris, Dr. John Meadows. But my favorite teacher that's influenced me more than any other teacher is a man by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you why he is my favorite teacher. If we're just talking about teaching, his style of teaching was amazing. I mean, he would just be walking out in a field and he would see a farmer sowing seed and he would say something like, "The kingdom of heaven is like a sower sowing seed." He'd be with a group of people and they'd be down by the Sea of Galilee and he'd see one of those fishermen not casting a rod and reel, but a net. And then he would say, "The kingdom of heaven is like a fisherman who threw a net." Would you stand with me right now? Because we're going to read one of the gospel narratives about Jesus. I know you're studying Mark's gospel, but we're going to open to the Gospel of Matthew, and I just want to read a few verses for you this morning that's going to kind of set the stage. Now, normally, Brother Ricky, Jameis knows this, just like he, we walk through books of the Bible and we preach verse by verse and just say what the Bible says, but occasionally we stop and address a topic or do something different, but we still want to make sure it's based on God's word. And Jameis, when he gave me this invitation, said, "Brother Ricky, I want you to have the freedom to follow the Holy Spirit to share with us what you feel he leads." And this past week, I feel like this is where the Lord wants us to go this morning. Matthew chapter 13. Your mind's already going there. Verse 1, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in what? Parables." And then, me being a farmer, this is one of my favorite. He starts talking about a farmer sowing seed and it falls on four different types of soil. Then look with me at verse 10. "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" Now going down to verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Oh, Father, one more time. We just want to ask you to anoint us to preach your word, anoint us to hear your word, but do not let me be a speaker only. And we know that no one here wants to be hearer only. We want to be doers of your word. Father, please speak to us now through what I'm calling a modern day parable. And it's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. May be seated. I am convinced if Jesus is here with us in Owensboro today, he might give us what I'm calling a modern day parable. Now, I don't know about your family, but my family has Scottish ancestry. So as soon as service was over last Sunday, Salisa and I went home and we turned the TV on and we glued into the Open Championship and we saw that putt. Wow! And a guy was crowned champion golfer of the year. Next year, it is our hope on our anniversary, July 18th, to be standing on the old course at St. Andrews. That's our anniversary wish. But I got to be honest with you, something was overriding my Scottish ancestry, and that was this. When the British Open was going to be open, here's what I knew was going to happen. The World Cup Championship game was going to come on, and it was going to be between Spain and Argentina. I was so disappointed because my country, Brazil, was not in the final game. And I don't know if you know this or not, but in South America, Brazil, who's won more World Cup championships than any country, we have a rival, and our rival is Argentina. And all of my pastors on the bank of the Amazon River said, Brother Ricky, you cannot root for Argentina. So I didn't root for anybody. But I watched Spain win the World Cup 1-0. For the last 6 weeks, dating from last Sunday, many Americans who never have given international football a wink, a thought, got hooked in on the World Cup being hosted by America, Canada, and Mexico. So I'm convinced, even though basketball is king in Kentucky, if Jesus was here this morning and I'm here on behalf of him, he would say something like this. The kingdom of heaven is like an international footy ball game. That's soccer for you Americans. And all of a sudden, he would have us listening as he would take the game of futebol. That's how we say it in Brazil. And he would show us the Christian life. I mean, as a teacher, he just had this uncanny ability to see something that his audience was familiar with and then relate it to spiritual truth. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you like football or not. But I want you to know, I love football. And if I can just say this, I think Jesus loves football. Now, the World Cup played every 4 years. This year, in America, Mexico and Canada invited not the traditional 32, but 48 teams to compete. And there was qualifications for those 48 teams. And then that final game, Spain versus Argentina. I think most of the Americas was rooting for Argentina because of Messi. But all of Europe and the rest of the world was rooting for España, Spain. And what a game it was. When the 90 minutes were over, it was still 0-0. And then in that extra time in the beginning, Spain scored. And you could see the look in all of the fans' faces from Argentina. Now, let's just imagine this morning, God allowing Brother Ricky to say in a modern day parable, the kingdom of heaven is like an international football game. And in our mind, we have the World Cup game between Spain and Argentina in our mind. In life, there's only two teams. God's team and Satan's team. There's not three teams, there's not five teams, there's not six teams, there's not eight teams, there's not 12 teams, there's two teams. Now, Jesus said the reason he spoke in parables is because there's a group of people who are going to hear, but they're not going to hear. There's a group of people who have eyes, but they're not going to see. But there's some of us who have the blessing of eyes to see and ears to hear. So I'm asking you, are you seeing and are you hearing? If there's just two teams, each one of us here either are on one team or the other team. We're either on God's team, the church, or we're still on the world's team, Satan's team. Yeah, the world. Can I ask this question? It's rhetorical, answered only in your mind. Which team are you on? Now, if you can say, like me, you are on God's team, here's the first point of this parable. We are graced to be on God's team. We are graced to be on God's team. We didn't earn this honor. We didn't work for this honor. There was nothing that God saw in us that caused him to want us to be on his team. You and I being on God's team is an act of God's grace. Wow. Do you realize that? But see, there was a time when we were on the world's team. How did we become part of the world's team? We were born on the world's team. We were born separated from God. We were born dead to God, alive to sin. And we, even though we didn't know it, was following Satan, the prince of the power of this world. We were living according to our unredeemed flesh. We could not do anything to earn God's righteousness. We could not break the power of sin within us. But then praise be to God. Amen. Holy Spirit of God opened our eyes to the truth of what God sent Jesus to do, to die for us on the cross. And we turned from sin, put our faith in Jesus. And the moment we were born again, God moved us out of Adam and put us in Christ. And he took us out of Satan's team, the world, and he put us on God's team, the church. Amen. Yes. So if you are part of God's church this morning, I want you to have this thought, modern day parable. I am on God's team. Now, who is Brazil's rival? It's Argentina. Brother Ricky has just enough Americano in him that he likes Messi, and because I'm in North America, I would want Argentina to defeat Spain, but I couldn't pull for Argentina because Esto un mia Brasileiro. I am part Brasileiro. And it would have killed my pastors and churches in Brazil if I had rooted for Argentina. Church, who is our rival? It's the world. Because whose team is the world? It's Satan's. You listening to me? we have a rival. It's the world. Now, can anybody tell I'm proudly wearing this jersey? Yes. My church has allowed us and me to go to Brazil since 1996, and we have churches all up and down the Amazon River, and I go there often. I teach pastors. We have mission trips, and I feel like I am part Brasileiro. When I get off that airplane now and I go through customs, I don't go to the Estrangeiro line where Americans are supposed to go in. I get in the Brasileiro line, and I just walked right in, and most of those custom agents, they're fine with me doing that. Because when they look at my passport, I've been to Brazil many, many times a year. So I proudly wear this jersey. It's a World Cup jersey. Are you proudly wearing the jersey of God's team? How do you put on the jersey? Here's how you put on the jersey. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the way you publicly put on Christ, according to Paul in Galatians 3, is we go down into the water and we come up out of the water of baptism. And when we go down into the water and come up out of the water, we're saying to the world around us, the team we used to be on, that we are no longer committed to the world. We no longer play for you. We're now changing teams and we're on God's team because our faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're also saying that that person who went into the water and came out of the water, that person who went down, he's dead. He's not alive anymore. And that person who's coming up out of the water, he's brand new. Amen. The guy who went down was dead to God, alive to sin, but the guy who got up is alive to God, dead to sin, and there's a transformation taking part in his life. Amen. Woo, glory. Are you wearing your baptism? I mean, when somebody sees you, do they know, whoa, that guy's alive to God. That guy's dead to sin. Because if he had been dead to God and alive to sin, he or she would not have acted the way he or she acted. Woo, they'd had a complete different reaction. I got to tell y'all what happened. The moment the schedule came out, and I was hoping and praying that Brazil didn't play in Canada or Mexico, but they played in the United States of America. And as soon as I saw the schedule, third game group play, Brazil, Scotland. My home country. I'm not bragging here. This is the truth. My wife's here. She'll confirm this. My family on Finley Stone Farm was the first family served Protestant communion in Scotland. By John Knox, the great reformer. My Cunningham family likes to say, we did all the work laying the groundwork for the Reformation, and John Knox, the preacher, showed up and got all the credit. Amen? But he served my family the Lord's Supper on our family farm under this giant yew tree. And on our 25th anniversary, Sleece and I stood under that yew tree and we wept with emotion knowing our family was the first family served Protestant communion. So I am Scottish ancestry. So you got to get this picture. Scotland's playing Brazil in the World Cup. I didn't want to miss the game. I went to it in Miami. I got there early, 8 hours before the game started. And I just went from restaurant to restaurant. And I'm in this restaurant, and when I'm in this restaurant, 75 to 80% of the people in the restaurant are Scottish. And only 15 or 20% of us are Brasileiros. And the Scots, they love to have fun. Did you hear about them while they was here? Yeah, that's my ancestry. So you got to get this picture. I'm wearing my, not this one, because I got this one at the World Cup, but I'm wearing my other Brazil jersey. And then I'm trying to explain to the Scots, wow, my family, first family served Protestant communion in Scotland. I'm Scottish. And here's what they would do. Strangers would grab my Brazil jersey and try to take it off of me. And in their Scottish English, which I could barely understand, I could understand Portuguese easier than their English, I would try to explain to them that I have a family that's Scottish, but I love Brazil, and they just would not listen. They could not understand why somebody who was Scottish would be rooting for the team Scotland was playing against called Brazil. Do you know there's some folks struggling with you? You say you're a Christian. I try to say I'm Scottish. But I wear this jersey. Which am I? You try to say you're Christian, but yeah, you know what you're doing. And that guy you work with, that friend you go to school with, that next door neighbor see those behaviors and can't believe you're really a Christian. Is your life saying Christian? Or is your flesh still showing? From time to time, Brother Ricky lets his flesh show. It's okay if it's just me. But it's not okay when the person seeing my flesh isn't on our team. But they're on the world's team. Amen? Our behavior. Brother Josh read a passage of scripture, Colossians 3. If we read further, Paul's going to tell us because of us being in Christ, the right-hand throne of God, set our mind on things above, not on things on earth. And he tells us to put off certain things that we've died to and put on the jersey of Christ. Would you wear the jersey of God's team, the church, proudly? Because across the front it says, saints. We are saints of God. Now, I had some people who struggled with the World Cup game because they didn't understand the game. Oh, it's a fascinating game. Now, you got to understand, I got introduced to footy ball by being on mission trips on the bank of the Amazon River. Instead of seeing little kids playing basketball, I saw kids playing footy ball. I've actually scored a goal in Brazil in a footy ball game. Yes. I think I was 33, and I was playing second graders. But I scored a Brazilian goal. Woo, glory. Now, I think you know this. There are 11 players on the field at the same time. We call it the pitch, not field, pitch. We have a goalie, and then we have 10 other players, and they're traditionally divided into defenders, midfielders, and attackers. Now, the 10 players who are playing those positions are playing those positions based on their physical giftedness. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Our first point of this parable is we are graced to be on God's team. Amen? But here's the second point. We are spiritually gifted to play our position. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, each one of us who have been born of God have repented of sin, put our faith in Christ. The moment we were born of God, God was our Father, and he gave us a spiritual DNA. And with that spiritual DNA, we have a certain gift, spiritually, that's been given to us by God. We didn't get it from mom or daddy. We got it from our heavenly Father. Amen? And then that gift causes God to give us a ministry here in the church, inside the walls and outside the walls. And then we have this spiritual enabling. So I pray, if you know you've been graced to be on God's team, I pray right now that each one of you say, Brother Ricky, here's my position. And I play this position not because of my physical ability, but I play this position because God has gifted me with a spiritual gift. He's given me a spiritual ministry, and he's given me a spiritual enabling. Yes. And that's why you quit comparing yourself to other people and decide you don't need to be doing what you're doing, because you're, no. Quit comparing yourself to other team members. We're a team. And the team needs you. Exercising the gift God's given you in the ministry he's called you to, and with your spiritual enabling. So you may be someone who's gifted to teach, and you may only have 9 people for the rest of your life in your class, and somebody else may have 50, and that class may multiply to another 50. Don't quit teaching. Those 9 people are very important to God, as well as those others. Amen? Now, what you're going to discover in your spiritual calling is this. You may be one of those persons who's more on the defensive side of the game rather than on the attacking side of the game. Or you may be that person that's what we call a midfielder. You're gifted to go both ways. There's times you drop back and defend, and then there's times you join the attack. Got it? Now let me remind you of what we're trying to do. In international football, you're trying to get this little round ball with your feet, no hands, head, yes, chest, yes. We're trying to get it into a net. And when we get in a net, we score a goal. Amen? Here's the goal of the church. Here's the goal of the kingdom of heaven. We, God's team, are trying to get the ball, the gospel, into the net, which is people who play on the world's team. Amen? And every time we get the gospel in the net, we score. Now, we don't save them. Once we get the ball in the net, we're going to celebrate. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And now we're going to trust that it's between God and them, whether they accept or reject. Everybody agree? So what we're trying to do is to advance the gospel into people's lives. We're not just measuring when somebody gets saved and baptized. Got it? So we're God's team. But here's the problem. We're playing against the world's team. So you know what the world's trying to do? They're trying to prevent us from getting the gospel in people's lives. And you know what the other team has? They've got this big goalie. Woo! And that goalie stands in your neighbor's life, stands in your spouse's life, stands in your children's life, stands in your boss's life, that employee's life, that person you go to school with, and every time you try to advance, that goalie's going to make sure you don't get to do it. And you don't realize all the other things that's happened in that unbeliever's life to try to let them not be ready for you to get the gospel to them. Whew. Now, in an international football game, there's just one ball. It's neutral. It's both teams' ball. In the kingdom of heaven, we have a ball. It's the gospel. And we're trying to get it into the net of the other person. However, the other team doesn't have the gospel. So they're not trying to get the ball in our net. You know what they're trying to do? The other team's trying to take us out of the game. Wow. That's why some of you are going to look at your spiritual gift and you're going to be an attacker. You're going to be trying to get the gospel every time you can into somebody's life. Even when you're standing in that restaurant, you're wanting to tell somebody about Jesus. Some of you said, Brother Ricky, I just, that's just not me. I know. Because you know why? Because your spiritual gift is over here. You're a defender. And the world's coming after your spouse. The world's coming after your children. The world's coming after your neighbor. The world's coming after your pastor. The world's coming after somebody. And you are a goalie. Yeah. You're a defender. And some of you will never know until eternity starts how many times you deflected the world from taking out one of ours. How many times have you seen it in this church? Some of you can name some people that used to be on fire for the Lord and they're not here anymore. They're not anywhere anymore. Because that sickness, that sin, that took them out. The world took them out. Where were their defenders? Where were those midfielders who, instead of trying to attack, didn't realize you needed to drop back and come alongside that person and pray for them? When somebody has faithfully been coming to this church and they miss two or three Sundays, somebody in this church, not the pastor or the staff, ought to be calling them. Because you have that spiritual gift. You have that spiritual ministry. You have that spiritual enabling. Amen? Yes. Now, y'all ready for this? In football, there's something called an assist, which means we recognize that Messi, Ronaldo, could not have got the ball into the net without the ball being passed to them. And that person who made that pass that set that goal up got the assist. Some of you may not ever score a goal. Oh, but what an assist. You remember that family that lost that loved one and you baked that pie and you went over there and you cried with them for 2 hours? You called Pastor Jameis or you called somebody else to go visit him, you got the assist. Yeah. Can I tell y'all what I love about Messi? Don't tell my Brazilian pastors I said this. Messi, before the third place consolation game, was the all-time leading scorer of goals in the World Cup, 21. But you know what he also has? He had 12 assists. Messi didn't just play the game to put the ball in the net. Messi played the game for his team. And he knew there were times somebody else had a better opportunity than him, and he passed them the ball. In international football, we count goals and assists the same. Please quit letting the people get the credit who are actually leading people to Christ. This is not an individual sport. This is a team, and it takes all of us. Amen? Now, last point. First point was, we are graced to be on God's team. Second point, we are spiritually gifted to play our position. Third point, you ready? We are players, not spectators in the game. Brother Ricky, known in Brazil as Pastor Hickey. Y'all ready for this? Scotland, Brazil. Third game of the World Cup. I was one of the 64,478 people in those stands cheering for Brazil, my team, against who I used to be, Scotland. And because of my cheering, my team won 3-2-0. Y'all ready for this? third row from the bottom. Right where the offsides line is in front of the goal, I was there. Oh, it was unreal. Woo, glory. Can I tell y'all what happened to me? There was a few times. I didn't grow up. I grew up in Kentucky wanting to be a point guard for the University of Kentucky. And then one day I realized I was never going to be taller than 5'8½". So I never played basketball for the University of Kentucky. My high school didn't have football at that time. I was a second baseman on the baseball team. Not in high school, but in the local league. Didn't know a thing about soccer until I started going to Brazil. And I would watch those kids play, and I couldn't help it. I was 32 or 33 years old, and I would get in the game with those second graders. And I scored a Brazilian goal. Now get this picture. I'm at the World Cup. Three rows from the field. Vini Jr. is right in front of me. And then at the end of the game, they put in Neymar Jr., one of the greatest all-time players for Brazil. He finally got in, and I could almost touch him when he did the corner kicks. And I just had this thought. Ooh, glory, what would it be like if instead of sitting in the stands, I was one of the 11 on the team? Sorry, I don't want to be the goalie. Sorry, I don't want to be the defender. Sorry, I don't want to be the midfielder. With my spiritual DNA, I would want to be an attacker. And then God spoke to me. Y'all ready for this? 22 players playing the game. 64,478 spectators watching the game. Pleasant Valley, honestly, you a spectator? Did you show up this morning to watch? I'm not going to tell you how much money I paid for my World Cup ticket. I expected a good game. Some of you, yeah, you give and you expect a good game. Quit being a spectator. If you've been graced to be on God's team and you've got the spiritual gifting to play your position, get out of the stands and get into the game. The game is played every day, not on Sundays. They did something different that I thought was cool. And I'm closing. For the first time in the history of the World Cup, because it was played in America, Canada, and Mexico, and because of the heat wave we was having, they had hydration breaks. Because they knew players couldn't go 45 minutes nonstop without having some water and some refreshing. And they would have a hydration break. And during that hydration break, the coaches would be in those players' ears and they were discussing strategy while they were drinking. Can I just remind you of this? You're playing a game. It's every day. Take your hydration breaks. Call a timeout. Make sure you're meeting with a small group. Make sure you're not here to watch, but to get refreshed. Is that best friend refreshing you? Are you refreshing him or her? In the kingdom of heaven, you need hydration breaks. Now, are you on God's team? You said, Brother Ricky, I'm not. Has there been anything in you that's been thinking, wow, I wish I could be on God's team? That's not coming from your inner flesh. That's coming from the Spirit of God. And he's trying to open your eyes and your ears for you to see and hear. Right now, you can turn from sin, put your faith in Christ, go down into the waters of baptism and put on the uniform of Christ and be discipled in this church and play your position. But if you're a Christian and you're in the stands, not on the pitch, get out of the stands. God, the Father, he owns the team. He paid for it with the blood of his son. Jesus is our coach. He played the game that we couldn't play so that we can now play the game. And if I can say this, he's the GOAT. Holy Spirit, he's the referee. No replays. When he makes the call, he's right. You're wrong. So when he calls foul, quit doing what you're doing. When he gives you that yellow card because you lost your cool with your neighbor, you listen to him and you confess to your neighbor. And if he, because of a certain sin in your life or an attitude in you, gives you the red card, you step down and you sit out. And then he'll let you know when it's time to go back in the game. Who are we? We're the players. We're not playing for us. We're playing for him. Amen. Father, as our worship team comes back, oh, thank you. First of all, for letting me go to the World Cup. First of all, thank you for letting me have a ministry in Brazil, because this sermon would have never come from you to me as a modern day parable. And thank you for Jesus being my teacher. And Father, I'm trusting. Yes, Jameis, give me an invitation to come, but I believe you led him to do that. And we both believe you've spoken to your church. If there's anybody who needs to respond now, you let them respond for your honor and your glory. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.